Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Friday class, January 3rd, 2025, 1 John.
Well, congratulations are in order. The ruler of planet Earth did not want any of you to be here tonight. He tried his damnedest to keep all of you distracted away from here. But you just told him. You see, there is a fallen angel who is ruling this planet, and he has lots of strategies to rule this planet. And he doesn't want any of you to know what those strategies are. He does not want you to know how he operates. But God and the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures tells us exactly how he operates. And that's why I knew when I was teaching this, it would be a major test for you people here. Congratulations on passing, those of you who were here tonight. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 John 5, verse 19. We have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now. We know that we are of God, spiritual birth, regeneration. And we know that the entire world lies in the control of the evil one, Satan. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 6, that we are in a war. Not a visible war, it's an invisible war. It goes on 24/7, 365 days a year. And the ruler of planet Earth never sleeps. We are in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. And we have an enemy. He's the enemy of God and he's our enemy. One thing about war and enemies, if you're going to be a winner in a war, you have to know your enemy. Most Christians do not know their enemy at all. In fact, everybody laughs at the fact that there is a devil or Satan. They think he runs around in red underwear with a pitchfork. And if you believe that, he's already got you fooled. He's the most beautiful creature ever coming from the hand of God. The most beautiful creature. If he were to walk in here, any of you ladies who are not married or single, you would all say, "Oh, my right man." And if those of you are married, you would say, "Well, maybe I can get rid of this guy and hook up with that one." He is the most beautiful creature that comes from the hand of God. And if you put all of your, I know I'm blessed with a congregation full of geniuses. If we put all of your geniuses together, you don't even come close to the genius of this fallen angel, Satan, who is ruling planet Earth. Don't even come close. But here is the great thing. Greater is he who is in you, the living and true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have to know your enemy, and that's what we've been doing. Now, we haven't had class for a couple of weeks. And I was interested to see if you were going to be here and pick up where we left off. Satan is the ruler of all fallen angels. One third of angelic creation joined Satan in the revolution against God. Satan has greater power than any human. And he rules the world through cosmos diabolicus. His cosmic system. He invented a system to rule this planet. And that is cosmos diabolicus. His cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. He designed it to rule planet Earth. Since the fall of Adam, Satan has been the ruler of this world. And it's taught throughout the scriptures. Luke 4, 5 to 7, John 12, 31, John 14, 30, John 16, 11, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Ephesians 2, 2. All of these passages teach that Satan is the ruler of this world. The devil rules unbelievers through demon influence, and some unbelievers he rules through demon possession. The devil rules certain believers through demon influence and getting the believer to live in his cosmic system. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Satan is the enemy of God. Revelation 13, 1 to 9. Satan is the enemy of Israel. All anti-Semitism is satanic. Revelation 12, verses 13 and 15. Satan is the enemy of all unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He's the greatest deceiver of all time. And he blinds the minds of unbelievers. Luke 8, 12. And when the unbeliever rejects Christ as Savior, he opens himself up to demon influence and in many cases, demon possession. Satan is specifically the enemy of the royal family of God. For right now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. The body is here. Now Satan's attack is on every single one of us. And therefore, to defeat his strategies directed toward us, God has provided for us in his amazing grace the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. And if we are going to be victorious and defeat his strategies, we have to put on the armor of God. And the armor of God, it goes on in the heart, in the soul. And if you have the armor of God on in your soul, you will be a winner in this angelic conflict. Satan is opposed to the Word of God. He's opposed to Bible doctrine. He's opposed to the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. And he's always distorting it, twisting it. He will take parts of the Word of God and then twist it to present human good and evil, a false gospel. All he does is just add works to the grace gospel. The grace gospel is the only gospel. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And he just takes that and twists it and adds works. What if you one work and it's a false gospel? No one can ever have salvation by his own works. So Satan is opposed to Bible doctrine. He's always trying to distort it or distract us away from it. Satan was the enemy of the incarnation of the Son of God, Revelation 12, verse 4. And at that greatest miracle that the world ever has ever known, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. And Satan had every male child 2 years old and younger put to death in his objective of killing Jesus Christ at his infancy. Satan is the enemy of nations and nationalism. Satan has a power system for controlling others. And for ruling planet Earth, it is his cosmos diabolicus, made up of cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. And the Apostle John taught this in 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Satan has a strategy to control the nations of planet Earth. His strategy is based on conspiracy and lies. His strategy is based on deception. He manipulates nations, first of all, with his cosmocrator demons, world-ruling demons, Ephesians 6:12. He deceives the nations, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20, verses 3 and 8. He is the author of every world peace movement. Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah 8:11, Ezekiel 13:10. He is the chief opponent and enemy of the laws of divine establishment, and he seeks to break down freedom and sovereignty of any nation where the laws of divine establishment, evangelism, and Bible Christianity is operating. Internationalism is satanic in any form. Globalism, religious internationalism such as the World Council of Churches, political internationalism such as the United Nations. His policy is power politics, violence, tyranny, change. He is anti-law enforcement, promotes defunding the police. He is anti-military and pro the welfare state. He is pro-socialism and communism, and he is against free enterprise. He is the father of religion and liberalism. He attacks the divine institutions of marriage and the family, and he promotes the degenerate evil of homosexuality and lesbianism, Romans 1:24 to 27. And a very important part of Satan's strategy is religion. Religion is the devil's ace trump. Satan is the author of religion. In Isaiah 14:14, he said, I will make myself like the Most High God. And so he created religion. All over the world we have religion. Religion is the creation of Satan's genius to counterfeit the plan of God. Religion is man using his own merits and his own works to try to gain the approbation of God. Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And Satan's counterfeits of the plan of God include counterfeit gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, counterfeit ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, counterfeit doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:1. Counterfeit communion table, 1 Corinthians 10:19-21. Counterfeit spirituality, Galatians 3:2-3. Counterfeit righteousness, which is self-righteousness, Matthew 19:16-28, Matthew 23:13-36. Counterfeit power and counterfeit dynamics, 2 Thessalonians 2:8-10. Counterfeit system of gods, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. And another very important part of his strategies is false teachers. 1 John 4:1-3. John taught about this. They have a phony hypocritical facade. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. They try to appear to be masquerading as men of light of God. And they are simply wolves in sheep's clothing. They seek to stimulate your ego with smooth talk and flattery, Romans 16:18. They use human public relations systems and legalistic flirtation and activism to court believers, Galatians 4:17-18, 2 Timothy 3:5-9. They promote idolatry. They are ignorant of the truth, the absolute truth of God's Word. They don't know what they're even talking about, 1 Timothy 1:7. They are influenced by demonic spirits, 1 John 4:1-3. They are influential and inspirational, but They have no divine power, no power of God the Holy Spirit. And Satan has a specific strategy of human good and evil. This was first seen in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:17. All reversionists have been deceived by Satan to the extent that they are influenced by human good and evil, 2 Timothy 3:13. The pastor teacher, the faithful pastor, is to take disciplinary action toward those opposed to sound doctrinal teaching so that they might recover from reversionism and be delivered from the devil's trap. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. And what is the devil's trap? Cosmos Diabolicus, his cosmic system. Satan has a strategy regarding the cross. This is perhaps Satan's greatest strategy, his attack on the cross and the grace gospel. Attack on salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. Satan blinds the unbeliever with a false gospel. This attack is accomplished by adding various types of works to salvation. Satan tries to obscure the fact that salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Satan has a strategy regarding Israel and the Jewish people. And that is anti-Semitism. Satan promotes anti-Semitism. Satan promotes hatred, intolerance, prejudice, opposition, persecution, violent opposition to the Jewish race and to the nation Israel. The divine attitude toward anti-Semitism is given in Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Anti-Semitism is any person, any group, any organization or nation who has hatred, intolerance, prejudice, opposition, or persecution of the Jewish people and the nation Israel. And that brought us to Satan has a strategy against the royal family of God, believers. Now we just barely got started on that. And you have it, you know that's number 15. Point 15. Satan has a strategy against believers. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 states the general principle. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, hold your ground against the devil in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his strategies. Now, for those of you who are positive, living the spiritual life, and you're coming to Bible class like what we're studying, you're not ignorant. But most believers today in this country are totally ignorant of his strategies. And then we had subpoint one. Satan has a strategy to trap the believer in his cosmic system. And that's 1 John 2:15 to 17 and 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. Subpoint 2, satanic strategy is to encourage rejection of Bible doctrine and to ignore and avoid consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Satanic strategy is to encourage rejection of the Word of God, the God-breathed Scriptures, and to ignore and to avoid, first of all, assembling in a sound Bible-teaching church, and then avoiding consistently and faithfully learning and believing the God-breathed Scriptures. Now that brings us to sub-point three. Satanic strategy is to hinder and distract believers away from the unique spiritual life of the church age that God has given to us. We need this unique spiritual life. The first person who ever lived it was Jesus Christ. It was never lived in the Old Testament. It was given to us because now we are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. For the first time in human history, Satan's attack is on every single believer. Never occurred before. In the Old Testament, it was the line of Christ, and then Christ himself, but following his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on every single member of the royal family of God. We are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, so God gave to us in his grace and his provision this unique spiritual life that only operates by divine power. This unique spiritual life demands the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live this unique spiritual life combined with the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, any Machaira, which conquered the Roman Empire. So, satanic strategy is to hinder and distract believers away from living this special, unique spiritual life of the church age, and to entrap us in his cosmos diabolicus, cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Subpoint four. Satan tries to distract the believer from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills in the following ways. Satan tries to distract the believer from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills in the following ways. You need to know these, every one. This is key. First, through negative volition toward the teaching of the Word of God. To get you to go negative. Go negative toward the teaching of the God-breathed Scriptures. Go negative to the teaching of grace and truth. So he tries to get you to go negative. And when that happens, he tries to get you to become arrogant. Arrogant. You know more. You know more than Pastor Olson knows. That probably a lot of you do know more than I know. You know more. You know about, you have a better plan. You have a better idea. A lot of you are a hell of a lot smarter than I am. But you don't have a spiritual gift called pastor teacher. I have a spiritual gift called pastor teacher. And the Bible says prepare for the ministry. So I prepared for the ministry. And I had great pastors, Ron Breckel, Bethany Bible Church, Colonel Thieme, Baraka. They both said, get all the languages you can get. Get all the language, all the Hebrew, all the Greek, all the Aramaic you can get. So that you can study from the original languages and know what God put down there. All, not a translation. And by the way, there are all kinds of commentaries. Now, if you want to get commentary, go get whatever you want for commentary. I have a whole library back here of commentary. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the thing about commentaries. They are not the God-breathed scriptures. And every commentary, I have some wonderful commentaries back there. And in every commentary, there is truth that's absolute truth, and there is lies and falsehoods that are not true. Now, you can have all the commentaries you want. If I taught from commentaries, I would teach the truth that's truth, and I teach the lies which are lies. So I don't teach what the commentaries say. There are things there that are helpful because they line up with absolute truth. There are things there that are lies and falsehoods I would never teach. And that's true of every commentary. So somebody asked, well, what do you think? Should we give the congregation everybody a commentary? Hell no. So if you want to go get a commentary, go get one, or get two, or get 100, or whatever you want. But I'm not going to give you a commentary. Pastors who have been trained in the ministry, trained in the languages, they can have commentaries and be beneficial. Pastors that have not been trained in the languages, oh, I feel sorry for those congregations, because they're going to get what the commentary says. Truth was fine, but they're going to get the lies too, the falsehoods. And unfortunately today, that's where most pastors are. Most pastors now, they go to computers. What do the computers have on there? Commentaries, and what they say here and say there and say that. What they need to do is go to the Hebrew and go to the Koine Greek and go to the Aramaic and beat their brains out under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, guiding them into the absolute truth of the Word of God. And there's a lot of times I sit down and I'm teaching a passage and I'll say before I get started, Father, I haven't got a clue what is being said in this translation. So God the Holy Spirit's got to lead me and guide me into the truth what's here. And He does. And it's fantastic and it's a lot of fun. I get so excited I get down and do push-ups. Well, I used to get down and do push-ups. If I get down now, I can't get up. So, two. So first of all, Satan tries to distract the believer from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills in the following ways. First, through negative volition toward the teaching of the Word of God. Through arrogance, you know better. Two, through getting the believer to sin and get out of fellowship with God so that he has no spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to live the spiritual life. He doesn't want you to have a spiritual life. He doesn't want you to have the filling of the Spirit. He wants you to grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit. Third, through Satan's inside agent. Satan's got an inside agent. It's called the sin nature with its lust patterns. The sin nature with its lust patterns. And he uses that inside agent to get you into reversionism, to get you into emotional revolt of the soul and a frantic search for happiness to fulfill, as we studied in last night's class. If it feels good, do it. That's Satan's, That's Satan's mantra today. If it feels good, do it. So we have all these Christians that are turned to drugs. They turn to drugs, they're drug addicts because it feels good. If it feels good, do it. No, you're killing yourself. You're out of fellowship with God. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. Not only that, you're killing yourself in the process. Alcoholism, alcoholics. If it feels good, do it. Well, it feels good, so I'll drink and drink and drink. So you drink until the Bible teaches the MO of the alcoholic. You drink and then you sleep. You drink and then you sleep. You drink and then you sleep. There's the MO of the alcoholic. And in the process, you're killing yourself. Alcoholics die of a lot of different things, but if you have never seen cirrhosis of the liver and what happens, it's one of the most horrible deaths that anyone can ever go through. Cirrhosis of the liver. Absolutely horrific. And there was a great baseball player, Mickey Mantle. Most of you know the name Mickey Mantle. And he got cirrhosis of the liver, and he was dying from it. And he said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I wouldn't have drunk so much alcohol. And he basically committed suicide through alcoholism. But it felt good. Satan's got this mantra, if it feels good, do it. So we get involved in drugs and drug addiction and alcoholism. Fornication. Fornication feels good. And there's nothing wrong with sex. God invented sex, but he made boundaries for it. The boundaries are the divine institution of marriage. Inside the divine institution of marriage, sex is fantastic. Inside the divine institution of marriage. Outside of that, it's horrible. It feels good, but you're killing yourself. And you will die the sin unto death if you just keep on, if it feels good, do it. So you fornicate, 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 fornicate. If it feels good, do it. Satan has an inside agent, the old sin nature, and it's full of lust patterns. All these lust patterns of the sin nature. If it feels good, do it. You get into reversionism, emotional revolt of the soul, frantic search for happiness, and then you run out of options. Satan tries to control the believer through the sin nature by tempting the believer to commit sin and to operate by the lust patterns of the sin nature. All the strategies of Satan are directed toward the free will of mankind. God gave us a volition. God gave us a free will. You have a volition. You have a free will. That's the guardian of your soul. The guardian of your soul is your volition, your free will. And God gave that to you, and all you have to do from your volition, your free will, is to say no. Sin nature's constantly sending up temptation, 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 temptation. All you have to do is say no. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 4, Satan tries to make the believer feel guilty. He tries to make the believer feel guilty. 5, there is a court in heaven. And Satan is the prosecuting attorney in the court of heaven. And as the prosecuting attorney in the court of heaven, he accuses believers. He accuses you of your sins and your failures and your living in the cosmic system. And this is, well, this is in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. It's going to be, we're going to see it when we get to Zechariah. And that's where we're going to be in our Tuesday night class in Zechariah. Great, great book. But we see him not only in Zechariah, but also in Job. Turn over to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, starting at verse 6. One day the B'nai HaElohim, literally the sons of God, and this is a special phrase for angels. One day the B'nai HaElohim, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And the Lord knows where he's come from. The Lord is omniscient, the all-knowing God. But he's saying this just so Satan can express how arrogant he is. Where have you come from, Mr. Arrogance? It doesn't say that, but that's... Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. In other words, I am the ruler of planet earth. He expressed his arrogance. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. The greatest believer on earth at this time was Job. Not just a believer, but the greatest spiritually mature believer. He is blameless and a grace righteous believer, a man who fears God. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And he hates evil. Verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. He's the multi-bazillionaire, Job is. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hand, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Now look over at verse 20. After there was a four-phase assault from Satan that took everything away. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship. He's worshiping God and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Life and death the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all of this, Job did not sin. He did not commit one sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Then, chapter 2, verse 1. On another day, the B'nai HaElohim, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Just so that he can repeat his extreme arrogance. Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. I'm the ruler of planet earth. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and a grace righteous believer who fears God, personal love for the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and he hates evil. And he still maintains his virtue, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and his bone, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hand, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your virtue? Curse God and die. Thank you, honey. He replied, you're talking like, this did not say foolish. He said a few other things there. You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. There's a prosecuting attorney. He has a file on each one of you. Oh, and on that file, oh, he underlines, highlights in yellow highlighter and underlines in red. And then he goes before the Lord and he presents all of your time in his cosmic system, all of your bad decisions and all your reversionism and all, he brings it out. Yeah. There you go. Now we're going to see this in Zechariah. Turn over to Zechariah. I'll give you a preview of coming attraction. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. This is Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? So he is, as the prosecuting attorney, accusing the high priest Joshua. Now turn over to the New Testament, Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, let's start at verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, fellow believers, who accuses them before our God, day and night has been hurled down. So Satan is the prosecuting attorney in the court of heaven. But there's also a defense attorney. And the defense attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a defense attorney, our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have a defense attorney. We have a defense attorney with the Father. And who is the defense attorney? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Yeah, Satan has a file on every one of you, of all your bad decisions and sins. And Jesus Christ, as the defense attorney, says, I paid the penalty for every one of those sins. They've all been paid for in full. That's our defense attorney, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. 6. Satan sponsors reversionism. Reversionism in all 8 stages. Reversionism, an emotional revolt of the soul. Frantic search for happiness. Apostasy, degeneracy. Satan sponsors reversionism and all principles related to Christian degeneracy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of occupation with Jesus Christ. And then look over at verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading. Masquerading as what? As apostles of Christ. Masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will be what their actions deserve. 7. Satan sponsors fear of death. Fear of dying, to distract the believer away from the spiritual life. And after all of the teaching of the Word of God you've received here, none of you should ever, ever, ever be afraid to die. It's a promotion, for God's sake. A promotion. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you die, Jesus Christ is holding your hand. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. Enjoy the ride! And we're all going to die apart from the rapture. Now, I admit the rapture could be tonight. After I say amen. No. But none of you, you should be looking forward to dessert. Dying grace is dessert. It's chocolate pie, whipped cream, and maraschino cherries. That's what it is. I love chocolate pie, whipped cream, and maraschino cherries. And so none of you should be afraid of physical death. Turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. He took on true humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We've been set free from that. We've been set free. God has a perfect plan. That perfect plan for us has a living faith and a dying faith. We're here to glorify God in the living faith, and we're here to glorify God in the dying faith. 8. He seeks to frustrate the will of God with regard to your life. He seeks to frustrate the will of God with regard to your life. And there are three parts of the will of God. The mental will of God, Romans 12:2, Ephesians 4:14. The geographical will of God for you, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, where does God want you to be? The operational will of God for you, what does God want you to do? James 4, 7 and 8, Galatians 5, 7. So he seeks to frustrate the will of God with regard to your life. 9, he tries to get the believer into mental attitude sins of worry and fear and anxiety and reacting to historical disaster. He tries to get the believer into mental attitude sins of worry, fear, anxiety, and reaction to historical disaster. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and be on red alert. Be on red alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So stay on red alert. Satan tries to get the believer to be disobedient to the Word of God and also to the pastor's authority in teaching the Word of God. 10. He causes you to get your eyes on yourself and feel sorry for yourself. He causes you to get your eyes on yourself and feel sorry for yourself. Don't get into Operation Elijah. That was Elijah. And as great as Elijah was for a while, he just crashed and burned. Turn over at near the end of his ministry. Turn over to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. And the second half of verse 9 it says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? I'm feeling sorry for myself. Didn't say that exactly, but that's what he does. Verse 10, he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. I'm the only one left. I'm feeling sorry for myself. And now they're trying to kill me too. So the Lord has to straighten him out. Verse 18, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. 7,000! You thought you were the only one left. What is he in? Feeling sorry for himself. Got his eyes on himself and feeling sorry for himself. That's what Satan tries to get you to do. So 11, Satan causes you to get your eyes on people. He causes you to get your eyes on people. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, in people, who depends on people for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. 12, he causes you to get your eyes on things. Causes you to get your eyes on things. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Satan sponsors Christian activism, trying to get the believer to become involved in improving the devil's world through becoming occupied with temporal solutions such as improving the environment, the greatest good for the greatest number, socialism, social action, the social gospel, the welfare state, temporal solutions to man's problems. 13, God allows Satan to administer the 7 major momentum tests in which he attempts to keep the believer from advancing to spiritual maturity. God allows Satan to administer the seven major momentum tests in which he attempts to keep the believer from advancing to spiritual maturity. And therefore, 14, we are commanded to stop giving opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give the devil a foothold. So we have believers today serving Satan through many things like fear and worry and arrogance and hate, Christian activism, human good and evil, anti-Semitism, and these things all play right into the hands of Satan. We give opportunity to the devil through the failing to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. We give opportunity to the devil by living a life in perpetual carnality and dying the sin unto death. So, verse 19, what a verse. We have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now. We know that we are of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, and the entire world lies in the control of the evil one, Satan. Now, what you do with your notes is up to you. If I was you, you need to know your enemy. I would go over it and over it and over it and over it and make sure you know your enemy and his strategies, so that you can put on the full armor of God so you can be a winner in this angelic conflict. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.